Good morning, everyone. I know that it's by this day to attend another session, everything sort of blends together. So I thought it was really important to start you out with fun facts that are not immunization related, because then you have something when you're out on a date this weekend, you can impress your date, and you can impress your family members over dinner. And years ago, we had a connections meeting in Grand Rapids, and Alan, we picked Alan up at the airport, and the first thing he informed us of is that Grand Rapids, Michigan was the first city in the U.S. to put fluoride in their water. Never knew that. Well, that's now on Michigan's website, which is very impressive. The second fun fact is that the first state police radio system in the world was established in 1929 by the Michigan State Police. And then the first people to ever receive phone numbers lived in Detroit, Michigan in the 1879. And the first soda pop made in the US is Verner's Ginger Ale, and it was created by accident. And the Mackinac Bridge is 5 miles long and the largest suspension bridge. So there you go. So one of these facts I'm sure you'll think about when you're visiting with friends over the weekend. So I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of integration. And the reason Michigan had a vision, to tell you the truth, child health integration was a connections project that the Public Health Informatics Institute conducted. And I think it was 2000, 2001 we started. And they brought a community of practice together, so we all worked together and had lessons learned on how to create this interoperability for it to benefit child health through newborn screening, LAD, newborn hearing. And the next thing that we found by integrating is an alternative source of revenue for the registry, because now you have other programs that can help fund you. And this year we actually were awarded $200,000, and we didn't apply for it. It was another program, and it was Children's Special Health Services, and it has allowed us to contract with a person just to help with integration on the development team. The other piece we have is the providers love it. No more faxes, everything's accessible online, and it's public health data. And the third piece is we're demonstrating a need and the value for health information exchange. And I want to share with you, because many of you know the story of Michigan's registry, we are funded very well. We have been for years, and we have received $1.75 million from this fund that is the tax on tobacco and cigarettes in Michigan. So we have that mixed public health message of no, you shouldn't quit smoking because it funds our program. So it's a real tough one. And I have mixed messages in public health with my family, like, oh gosh, you know, you start calculating the money. But it's a $30 million budget, and 1.75 goes to the registry. And then every year it keeps getting smaller, and they take that public health fund and give it somewhere else. It's only $5 million now, from $30 million to $5 million. So we have to share $5 million across public health. So last year in June, the governor took our money away. And we had no idea, and on June 1st, we had no money for the registry through state dollars. And it was really shocking, because we had this huge registry, and we had just rolled out our child health integration. But what happened is the providers called their legislators without us asking, and they really demanded that MICR be funded. And in June they refunded us, or in September, we were told we were funded. This year, for this coming next year's cycle, it's $5 million, and in the budget line it states, here's $5 million for public health, $1.75 has to go to the registry. So we're very, very happy. So just to give you a little information where we think integration really helped us with keeping funding for our registry. So we have all these emerging synergies. We have vital records, we have WIC, we have immunizations, Medicaid, EPSDT, newborn screening, and early hearing and detection. So we're working with all those programs to display information, test results, and then we have surveillance capabilities now. And then here's MICR, the Care Improvement Registry. We're very large now. We're 6.5 million children's records, and we have over 72 million immunizations, and we have 25,000 registered users to access the system. And here's our integration. We have vital records fee, LED, EPSDT, WIC, Medicaid, newborn hearing, and newborn screening. And this is what it looks like. So if you log into MICR, the screen will pop up and have all these tabs. These tabs only appear if we found data in the other systems. So if there's no LED results on that child, there would not be a LED tab there. So as a provider enters the patient's name, it the message goes out to these other systems and pre-populates those tabs, so when they click on the tabs, they have immediate access to clinical decision support. This is really hard to show when you try to do a diagram like this. So what I did is, what you see in red, this is the data flow systems. In red is the MICR database and the MICR web application. In green is the newborn screening, and that's the lab system. So on the right-hand side, that's the user interface. So if they click on the green, they get newborn hearing or early hearing and detection, and it's a web service that goes to the lab service, to the lab database, and comes back with the information. In the blue is our Medicaid warehouse, and that's where we get LED data and EPSDT data. But on the bottom are just our regular exchanges. I don't know if my mouse, I don't think it will. On the bottom, vital records is there, and every day we get a vital records feed. WIC is there. Every day we get a WIC feed. We get the WIC ID and the clinic the child goes to. Every month we get a Medicaid feed. We get the Medicaid ID and the health plan that serves that child. And then we have the CRA in there that we report to CRA. And then we have a link, a live link, to our FIA, which is like food stamp program. A social worker can go into their system and see the immunization on their screen of MICR, from MICR, on the patient they're working with. And now we have a web service with WIC. So the WIC clinics go into their patient centered application, and we actually just feed a immunization overdue up-to-date status to them immediately. So just to talk about LED, what we did this in 2004. This was really the beginning. So what we do is provide clinical decision support, and we have a printable document, and we have the on-screen. And we just display the specimen date of the sample, the ID number, the date it was reported, and if it was a venous or capillary draw. This is what it looks like. The colors that are rainbow colors, we color code our system to, you know, to alert you. And on the bottom, this child had almost a 50 lead level, which is very serious. And then as you can see, as it goes up, she's at an 11. So she has a blue color. And if the provider clicks on that, a little pop-up appears there and tells them what steps they should take. So all along the course of this child, the physician could click and they would say, you know, you should do this, this is the recommendations, your clinical support. If they didn't want to use that and just click on that, we have a printable printout that they can have and just have in their office of the same thing, the color coding, and it tells them what to do for clinical decision. So that modeled how we would move with child health integration. So then we went to newborn screening. This is very difficult because this is the first record on a baby that comes into the state of Michigan, and it's all baby Hoyle, baby Jones, very seldom a first name. So to have a unique identifier to match these records is difficult. So we actually have a match that is semi-manually operated. And the program, newborn screening program, has an epidemiologist every day looks at a file, a SAS file, vital records, newborn screening kit number, and then they try to match to the patient ID in the newborn screening system, and then they supply us with that patient ID with the vital records number, because we have the vital records number. So we have a 90% match, and the 10% that don't match, the providers actually call the newborn screening program and they enter that patient ID manually into MICR so they can have access to that information right away. And this is what happens. You see the newborn screening mailer at the tab is clicked, and there's just a link, and they click on the mailer link, and then they get the results. These all used to be faxed, and they a lot of times were faxed to the wrong physician because the parent decided to go to another provider and not the provider listed at birth. And so providers told us, we're so worried, we have this document. How do we know that child actually received their care for newborn screening? And now they just have instant access, and it's there in MICR, wherever that child shows up. Newborn hearing is also attached to our newborn screening database, so it's the same process of matching. We just use the patient ID and go through that SAS process, that semi-automated process. And we put the date screen, the test method, and we do left ear and right ear results, and then we have diagnostic. Again, you just click the tab, and then it has pass-fail, and then it will also any further diagnosis. The story about this, Eddie, the early hearing detection program, spent $300,000 to build a system, and it failed. They couldn't merge records. They had huge duplication problems. They had no web front end to get to the providers. This cost $50,000. Think of how much money went into a project that failed, and you see that all the time. And for $50,000, we did all this. So then Medicaid came to us, and they fund us very well. They give us $400,000 a year. And they said, we really need help, because physicians need the history of EPSDT results. So we worked with them, and we already had our lead interface with Medicaid warehouse, so we knew we could do this. So now we display the ICD-9 codes, the description of the process, and we say if the child's overdue for EPSDT service. And again, they click the tab, and it's red if they're overdue. I know this is a busy slide with all the wording, but you have your date of service, you have your ICD-9 code, and then the description right on the screen of what service was offered. So they have historical and also clinical decision support that they need to, the child is overdue. So now we are moving into the world of body mass index. And this is an exciting time for us. It's a whole different world, because this time we're not linking, we're adding to MICR. So it is a different way to look at things. We're adding fields, and they're actually gonna be entering height and weight into the registry. So the other piece is we want it reportable. MICR's reportable. It's mandated that you report your immunizations. We know that works in our state. So how can we get the best height and weights and BMI surveillance data? So we have proposed to change the administrative rules in the registry to help with this. And it will move forward that if a person birth to 18 visits a provider office, and they've had just one time a year, they can enter height and weight. That will be the mandate, just once a year, just to start out with. We're hoping that's a good enough tool. We'll get a lot of data as the patient comes in more frequently, but we're just starting out with one visit. This is very busy, but just so you know, Michigan has a Healthy Kids, Healthy Michigan component, and it's a lot of leaders coming through from all different areas, and they had to look at the health of Michigan's children and what's the top six priorities, and obesity was one. And then the second step they said is, let's use MICR. So this was driven by providers and leaders out in the community, knowing that MICR could provide good service for them, to the clinician. And then Alterum Institute has made this a mission for them to look at obesity and what can all different realms of obesity issues with children. and one happens to be registry-based, so they actually gave their time to help with the planning of this. And then we had cardiovascular health and the MICR team all working together. And what we did is we added height and weight, we added counseling activity fields, and we added clinical decision support. And I'm going to show you that. We're getting ready to roll out next month to 3 pilot sites. And this is what we've done. We've done the same concept, the tab, click on the tab. We will have overdue and have tell them if they're up to date or overdue for to put a measurement in. They just click on add measurement and add height and weight. We color code it according to their BMI percentile and what type of activity and action they need to respond to. We have counseling activity, so they can check whether it's just a checkbox, you know, did you do weight counseling, nutrition counseling, physical activity. Again, they have the little pop-up here. This is the BMI percentile on this child. Here's the steps you should, you know, here's all the information on it. And then there's a, you can click on it, and there's a document that will appear on all the steps you should take. This is just one page of a clinical decision support document. This is actually looking at the future weight-related disease burden for obesity. So the physician can look at the blood pressure and circle it, and it asks several questions. It's a really great tool. And this is added to the registry so that physicians can print that out and use that. And then you can see here this child has 3 weights. The green means they're doing better. But then we're gonna have growth chart by age. So what shows in that red square is determined on their age and what growth charts they can print out. And we use, San Diego was so helpful. We're actually modeling after San Diego. So thank you very much. And they've helped us a lot with all the growth charting and how to do that. So we have the growth chart just like this. And then the lessons that I've learned over all this experience is it takes more time than you think to link. But for all you new people who just started in registries in the last few years, you really are, it's amazing how much you've learned on health information. And the other programs in your state department, they don't have the expertise that you have. They really depend on you. And so when I would go to meetings to get the integration going, the other programs were just like, what? What are you saying? And to sell that idea, they loved the idea, they just couldn't grasp it. Like, how are we gonna do it? And so they used to tease me and say, Therese, we're just gonna hang on, you move the train. And so that's what we did. So here's our future. We're creating a perinatal Hep B case management follow-up module in the registry. We have a sickle cell case reporting follow-up module that's being created right now. We are looking forward to forecasting certain vaccines by weight, and that's what the BMI is really gonna help us with, especially for preemies, because we want that first weight off the vital records information. We are looking to forecast vaccines specific to sickle cell children. They have a different schedule. And we will be integrating with the Michigan Health Information Network. Everything we developed can be pulled out someday when we have a very advanced health information exchange, can be pulled out. And these programs can have their own systems with that health information exchange front end. And that's how we've created this. Our goal is to have healthy children. These are my kids, and they would be so mad if they knew I put this in. But I thought, you know, it's all about the babies, but it's really about the end result, and it's having healthy children. Thank you.